What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
The Volume.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. I still feel like the Nuggets are the team to beat this year, but some of these young squads might make some noise.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code JENKINS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code JENKINS only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Thursday, April 25th, and even though it's Thursday, it's still Silly Billy Saturday. This is your non-basketball playoffs episode of Jenkins and Jones. We do have a little bit of sports to talk about with Reggie Bush, but we're going to talk about calling the police on the cicadas. We're going to talk about the largest ancient snake in history being discovered and why our brain does not fit in the world that our brain has built. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. Have a good.
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, bubbas?
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike.
Mother fucking Mike.
And we're produced, as always, by the lovely and talented Jackson Seth.
What's up?
All right, we got to talk about this Reggie Bush shit. They just announced on the day we're recording this, Reggie Bush is getting his Heisman back, spurring mostly people celebrating. Also, obviously, some of the stupidest possible discourse on, well, it was still illegal at the time he was doing it.
Oh, my God.
You know. But we are all of the Reggie Bush generation. We were the exact right age to watch what he was doing and kind of marvel at it. What was your guys' reaction to the Heisman people finally giving him his trophy back?
I mean, I thought it was bullshit that they took it from him to begin with, right?
Period.
Reggie Bush, like, there's like three or four different ways I can go if you ask me who's the best college football quarterback I've ever seen. Like, there's Burrow, there's Cam, Tim Tebow has a case. But if you ask me who was like the best flat out college football player I ever saw, Reggie Bush probably gets my vote. That dude was just indescribable, bro. He was electric. He was a fucking football player. Did it all. Could run it. Could catch it in open space. You know, if you get him in the open field, he's shaking the shit out of defenders and getting yards. And he was just an incredible talent. And for him to have his Heisman taken for some shit that had nothing to do with his on field play, just because his motherfucker was getting some money, like he should have been. You know what I'm saying? He was severely underpaid, because you could make the point he was perhaps the most talented player in USC's history, you know, and he was severely underpaid. And for them to take that shit on that, it was just, I hated it. And I'm glad that they've rectified it. And honestly, I don't know why Reggie gave them that motherfucker to begin with. I would have quote unquote lost it. That big, a bulky 100-pound motherfucking trophy. I don't know. I moved and I couldn't find it. We boxed it up with the China somewhere, and I don't know where it went. They wouldn't have got that shit off me, dog. Hell no.
To me, Reggie Bush, like how big he was, I don't remember people wearing college players' jerseys outside of Reggie Bush and Allen Iverson's Georgetown jersey, personally. You know what I mean? Like, how much attention he brought to the NCAA. Like, it was, you had to truly be there to realize how big of a deal he was at that moment. And the fact that he wasn't getting paid really made me think how insane it was. Prior to that, I wasn't really, I was like, oh, you getting a college degree, you know, whatever. Maybe because I was younger, I was thinking that too. You feel me? And I was kind of swayed by other people's thoughts. But like, he's a person that made me realize, yo, this is fucking nasty that this man is not getting paid as big of a deal as he is. And you know what I mean? Like, for them to have taken advantage of him and then to be mad at him because he was getting part of what he was worth and taking the Heisman away. Like, he wasn't the reason a lot of people were even watching college football during that time period was insane to me. So I'm glad he got it back. I thought it was bullshit at the time when they took it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm surprised as hell that the NCAA said, yo, we got it wrong. That's shocking, but I'm glad he got it back.
So, and it's worth noting, I think the Heisman Trophy group is separate from the NCAA. And I did see people talking about, you know, it was like, oh, they were just waiting for OJ to die to give to give Reggie his Heisman back.
Hey, points might be made there.
And if so, I kind of get it, brother.
John, you make a really interesting point. It does feel like Reggie Bush was like the first raindrops falling in what would eventually become the storm that let guys make money in college. That was,
weren't they for
it
real
was the first
talking
time
about
people thought about it?
How much money they were making off his jersey sales and stuff? Like, wasn't conversations being had? And I had never heard about people talking in that way prior to him. You feel me?
Yeah.
I feel like Maurice Claret got the ball rolling where he was like,
yes,
you know, best freshman in the country, you know, on a championship team. He's like, oh, these so many people are making money off my likeness, off my jersey, and I'm not getting a cut. And then, you know, a few years later, we have this generational, like I said, the best college football player I've ever seen in my lifetime at USC with Reggie Bush. And it was just like a perfect storm right there. So, yeah, I think Maurice Claret got the ball rolling, and then Reggie Bush was just exhibit fucking A, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, it's good that things have moved in the direction they have. I always want to emphasize that the NCAA has continued to just punt and be cowards on this issue, in that they still aren't paying the kids. They just told them you're allowed to do endorsements,
right?
As a way to get around the Title IX issues, et cetera, that they're not wanting to have any leadership on or actually do anything. So fuck the NCAA as always, but. Give USC that national championship back, right, Jackson? Are we putting the banner back
certainly,
up?
Certainly.
Putting the natty back.
Certainly.
Listen, man, I was always on Reggie Bush's side, but when I found out that he used the money he was getting to buy a 96 Impala SS, I was like, bro, this is a real nigga. Free that man. Free that man. In 2005, you got a 20-year-old kid riding around in a 96 Impala. Come on, man. That's a real one right there, dog.
He did what Drake didn't. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Got that bread and went right where niggas supposed to go. You know what I mean? Get you all old school.
If we were, I've been thinking about this, especially with the Reggie Bush conversation. If the NIL stuff had existed the whole time, who of like the 21st century college athletes makes the most money? Is it like Reggie Bush? Is it Johnny Manziel? Is it Tebow?
It's Johnny Reggie. Manziel. No, it's
oh, really? Three
it's,
different
it's answers. Johnny Manziel. It's Johnny Manziel, and I will tell you why. Johnny Manziel was cool, and he was a white boy who was legitimately cool. He wasn't a Baker Mayfield,
Eminem shit.
Right. Yeah. Like he was a white boy who had swagger, who played quarterback at Texas A&M, who has one of the most fervent fan bases in all of college. And he was legitimately great on the field, too. He checked all the fucking boxes. Great performer, had the aura about him. He was legitimately cool, not a tryhard, not a lame. And he had the swag. He had a great fucking nickname, Johnny Football. Manziel would have been printing money, bro.
I got to say Tebow, because I think lame people make more money in this country than cool people.
Oh,
bro.
Wow. Wow.
Like the Harvest Festival endorsement deal for Tim Tebow might have been 9 figures.
But no, you have to add the wrinkle in that this is a white boy being cool, though. White people, you know, that's the cheat code right there. You know, I'm not talking about like Vic, you know, who was legitimately cool and right. Black, you know, it's. Yeah, him being a cool white boy is the X factor here.
I think that John Deere evangelical church money balances it out. I don't know. He could have done it. He could legitimately, Tebow legitimately could have done a mega church evangelical speaking tour where he was pulling in $1 million per appearance. You know what I mean?
I think also got a Nike ad too.
I think you're right, Manziel would have made the most endorsement money. But Tebow, if he'd been able to open up in the corporate conservative world and say you're allowed to give me as much money as you want, like I think he could have printed money in that circuit too. It just, I mean, he did an endorsement deal, an anti-abortion commercial, didn't he, that he just was like volunteering his time for or something. Like,
yeah,
that world is, I don't interact with it, but it's like 44-48% of the country or whatever. So I don't know, I'm gonna go with Tebow, bro. And similarly with the fan base and, you know, obviously the success on the field and everything, I don't know.
You don't think the gravity of Reggie Bush, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think there was a player more compelling that I've ever seen in college basketball. I mean, college football. You know what I'm saying? That made you want to watch the game. Like, I wouldn't watch no Pac-10 fucking football shit back then. I was in the South, nigga. We thought that was fake football, nigga. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I watched some hoop, nigga. You feel me? I'm not trying to watch no damn football. Like, he made me think totally different. You know, I don't... The gravity of him as a player was so strong. I don't know, man.
I don't know. I think quarterbacks are way more marketable. We just really haven't seen a running back who kind of has cracked into that space. So, I'm still going Manziel, bro. Like I said, Reggie Bush, I think he's the best college football player, the most electrifying college football player I've ever seen in my life.
He was also pre the way the internet has opened every interaction up to be a profit making thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which I feel like Manziel and Tebow both kind of had going for them.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano. And we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
We talked on the last Silly Billy episode about the cicada invasion. They have begun coming out throughout the South in the United States, and they're so loud that let me just read you this headline from Newberry, South Carolina in the Associated Press. Emerging cicadas are so loud in one South Carolina county that residents are calling the sheriff's office asking why they can hear sirens or a loud roaring noise. The Newberry County Sheriff's Office sent out a message on Tuesday letting people know that the whining sound is just the male cicadas singing to attract mates after more than a decade of being dormant. Some people have even flagged down deputies to ask what the noise is. Golly, that sounds like hell.
Yeah, that sounds like a Twilight Zone episode.
Sounds like the end of the world for sure. That's crazy. Yeah.
Imagine being the police dispatcher. Having to tell the 30th person, you are calling the police on insects.
That are getting, they're trying to get their fuck on. Quit hating, nigga. It's been quit cock years. Blocking. You know what I'm saying?
They ain't fucked since 2014, dog.
Let them get their issues.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. These cicadas still think Barack Obama's president. You know, right? Like they're so out of the loop.
They have no idea how much the world has gone to shit in the last 10 years. Let them live.
Let them live. That's crazy, though. I didn't take that into consideration that, like, there were other noises cicadas made outside of just that noise that puts me to sleep at night. You feel me? Like, the mating noise that sounds like sirens? That sounds, yeah, that sounds, like, untenable. There's no way. You feel me?
I looked for video and couldn't find like a good video of how bad it is. But I was hoping to get a clip of like this being the worst thing in the world.
What good do cicadas contribute to like the ecosystem? Like what is their abundance of life that they contribute?
I think that as they have the abundance of death as they all die out, I think their husks are like an important part of the topsoil for the American forests or something
is
like that.
Is that real?
I mean, I would like just guess there's so much biomaterial there that I would guess, because like you said, like you could be somewhere sometimes and look down and realize that like the whole floor is dead cicadas.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I mean, the ecosystem's so delicate. My mom was big on that shit too. Whenever I wanted, like, you know, because I was huge on killing all the bees. I was a real genocidal bee maniac as a kid. Like
bees is interesting.
All these dudes out of here. My mom was when I was six. She was like, you wouldn't have any food without the bees, Mike. And it's like, well, I don't care. Kill the
bees. But you were taking bees out? You was going at it with bees?
Well, I wasn't. I was too much of a pussy to actually do it. But I wanted them. I was wishing them. I was wishing them.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's still kind of, fuck wasps at least. Bees
wasp
can stay.
Bro, wasp crazy, bro. I remember one time a wasp passed up three people and stung me in the middle of my chest. Like, there were three people right there. I was just watching. They were the ones fucking with the bush, passed all them niggas up and stung me, bro. We I've had beef with wasps ever since, bro. You know, that was just so unnecessary. I ain't do shit to that nigga. Crazy.
I told y'all I successfully avoided it because I would just literally turn around and run the other direction if I saw a bee or a wasp. I actually jumped over Char to get away from a beehive one time. We were delivering newspapers, and like they had built. They had built a wasp nest in our newspaper stand. So I opened it up. It was a wasp nest in there, and I turned and jumped over her to get out the back of the of the little delivery cart, which she, you know, she's told that story a few times. But I successfully avoided ever getting stung by one until I was like 32 or something like that. Never stung by a bee or wasp until then. And what happened was a queen wasp had crawled up under the eave of my slides that were sitting outside. Well, I would leave my slides outside the house or whatever. So I have Vinny in the car seat.
You're what little outside baby the house? Vinny,
my slides, my sandals.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So I put my foot in and the wasp stung me under my big toenail.
Oh, hell no.
It felt like someone took a hammer and just, you know, put it in the end of my foot or whatever. And so I like pulled my foot out like, what the fuck? like, because I couldn't see it. And then it came crawling out, and it was a queen wasp. It was big as fuck. I picked up the other sandal, and I probably hit the wasp 30 times. And, like, you know, I'm cussing, and I'm screaming the whole time. And Vinny starts crying in the car seat because he's like, what the fuck is going on right now? Like,
daddy's fighting the air, mommy.
It was some real caveman brain shit, bro. Like, I must protect my baby from this.
The only time I blacked out like that with a bug was, I told you about that time that a roach crawled on me while I was sleeping.
Oh,
hell no.
Bro, nigga, I had on, like, you know, high school, you feel me? We lived in an apartment that had them things in it. We moved out the apartment. It got in the crib. You feel me? And it was like a big, them big ass water bugs. You feel me? Where it'd be like one big ass one. They flew and all that type shit. Anyway, so I guess one, you know, hitched a ride in one of my bags or something, right? So I'm sleeping and I feel something crawl across my arm, like while I'm laying down. And I'm like, it wakes me up out of my sleep. Like, hold up, nigga. You feel me? Like, I dream lucidly. So I woke up. Whoop, that was real life, nigga. That wasn't in my dream. You feel me? So then, like, I go back to sleep. I'm like, I might have been tweaking, whatever. And I feel something crawl across my face, dog.
Oh.
And I had my do-rag on. So I, like, fucking, like, trying to hit my do-rag and all that shit. And then I'm looking around like, no, I felt something. Fuck that. So I'm looking around, bro. I see a roach on his back next to my bed. I guess I knocked it off. Nigga, I stomped that roach until it. I didn't see roach anymore. Like, there was nothing for me to pick up. I'm stomping a roach out, nigga, like, you know what I mean? Insane, bro. Oh, my God. I fucking hate roaches. Anyway, yeah. So I can understand that feeling, you feel me?
Yeah, everyone has one bug. It's roaches for Char, too, because she, you know, Char's dad grew up in Hawaii, so they would go, he grew up on a dole plantation in Hawaii, actually, so they would go back to Hawaii regularly. And they one time, you know, he grew up in Hawaii, bro. So roaches to him is like ants.
Right.
For it. He does it. He doesn't even notice them. Right. But they had a rental car. And Char has this vivid memory of being like six, sitting in the rental car and looking down and seeing the floor of the car moving.
Oh,
roaches. You know what I mean? And she's so ever since then, bro, like she sees a roach, she will like leave the parking lot and go walk a mile to come into the store from a different direction. You know what I mean?
Bro, I remember me and Tyler was at New Orleans. And
New Orleans, Hawaii.
A roach tried to attack us, bro. Like, it came at us. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I remember we turned around, like, the motherfucker was big. We damn near squared up. Me, him, and Adrian, like, what's good? You feel me? And the motherfucker flew off. I swear to God, it was like, yeah, nigga, when I get my friends, let's see if you really about that smoke. Nigga. You know what I'm saying? You really about that. You going to stand tall, nigga, when I bring the homies? I swear to God. Didn't he have a lot of, like really aggressive energy, nigga? It was crazy.
You guys want to hear my horrible roach in an apartment story? John's, you're just reminding me of it. These weren't like ginormous roaches, but they were still. So in the apartment I lived in sophomore year of college, shout out West 27th on Figueroa in downtown Los Angeles for being an absolute shithole.
That USC student housing is fucking, it's insane.
That place specifically is.
As a private school, that shit.
Accessible.
It's a private school in South Central though, dog. Like, if you're staying off campus at USC, it's a wild story.
Fun time, but an absolute nightmare to live in. So it's one of those things where like we see one little cockroach and I'm like, okay, kill it. And it's like, oh, the next 2 days later you see like four and you're like, weird, but like, let's just kill them. Everything's fine. Then like a week later, like, wait, there's like six now. Let's see if we can handle this ourselves. We're like 20-year-olds. Bro. We're stupid.
Drop
right?
the bomb, bro.
So we
Drop
get the like all the sprays and whatever. And we're like, okay, I think maybe it's working. Not working, obviously. So it just progressively gets worse and worse. And then we go to our apartment, the landlords or whatever. And we're like, hey, we have this roach problem. We can't really figure out what's happening. Can you guys like do something about it? And they're like, yeah, no problem. They don't do the full on bug bomb initially. They do this like where they spray all the whatever, I don't know, some like intense poison shit. They're like, just be out of there for like a couple hours. We're like, no problem. And then it doesn't
work. Drives them out of their hiding place.
It doesn't work, right? And so the problem gets worse and worse to the point where during the day, it's mostly fine. But during the night, if you ever have to like wander out to the kitchen to like get water or whatever, right? Absolute just nightmare of roaches in there to the point where there are cockroaches, small ones, crawling out of our outlets in the kitchen.
Hell no.
It is nightmare.
How long did y'all live like that, Jackson?
What?
How long did y'all live like that?
Too long. And so then, but then we're like, okay, we're about to go home for winter break. So we tell them, we're like, hey, can you guys like fix this? Because this is a nightmare. They're like, yeah, we'll do the full bug bomb. You have to be out of there for like 2 weeks, but like perfect timing because you guys are all going to be gone, right? We're like, okay, great. They're going to bug bomb. Like we had to cover our shit in like sheet plastic.
Yeah, we were
fucking Dexter. And I still have the video. It is insane what we had to do to our apartment. And but we're like, okay, it's fine. We'll come back from break. All of our problems will be solved. Sophomore year can recommence. It's going to be great. We come back and it's like a little bit better. But then like it starts again. And we're like, okay, something is wrong here. We have to find out like where like the hive is or whatever, right? Like how, like we need to like target bomb them. We can't
it's
just
in
like
the walls, nigga.
We have to figure it out. We're like trying to, it's in the wall. We can't figure it out. And we're like,
it's in someone else's apartment.
You know, the one place we haven't looked and it's always the kitchen. What about behind the fridge?
Oh,
so it's like a heavy fridge and we're like college students. So we have like two people lifting and going to slide it out. I'm like the person who has to climb on the counter, take a flashlight, look back there. They slide the fridge out. I have a flashlight in one hand and like a what's useless against this many roaches in another hand, like a trap. And I just see it. I just scream, drop both behind there. And I'm like, we can't, we're not going back there. We just have to put the fridge back and tell them and they have to handle it. Cause it was like a swarm of cockroaches.
Oh,
and I was like, oh my God. Eventually they handled it. And it was, we ended up living the rest of the time there, which is crazy. No rent reduction, no nothing. But there was amount of time there sophomore year where we were living. It was their apartment. We were just guests in their apartment.
Did you have video?
I don't have video of the actual like infestation, but I do have the Dexter video of there being sheet plastic all over our covering everything.
I've had to do that one time with this place I was living in college as well in St. Louis. And we covered it up and it was like a bomb. We had to be at the house for 6 hours. You can't make it, it was fine. But that night shit when you're like turn the lights off and you lift the dish and like six roaches scatter from the dish.
Been there.
It's disgusting.
Oh my God.
I can't imagine pulling out the refrigerator and seeing like them crawling over each other. I don't know. Maybe my brain is making it worse than it really was. So maybe that's why I'm reacting.
It's like you've seen an
ant hill,
like
my skin
but like,
is not, like
cockroach version, right now. Right? Like it's.
Oh my God.
Tyler, are there cockroaches in Virginia? What do y'all deal with out there?
Shit, I mean, not where I stay, but yeah, I mean, they out here.
But, not at the crib, oh yeah.
Not at the crib, you feel me?
Yeah.
Ants are a big problem where I'm at, but, you know, ants don't creep you out like roaches do, you know? So
The big water bugs aren't as bad. It's the small ones you were talking about. Those are like the big water bugs. Like, we'd see like three a year, you know? I mean, it'd be nasty, but like when they're the small ones, those are the ones, like that things are the German cockroaches. Those are the ones that fucking... You know, there could be a potential infestation.
Yeah.
If you see one or two, that's like you see one, it means that there's 1,000 or some shit. Ugh.
Yeah. All
crazy.
Right.
Yeah, we've had enough.
Let's move on to it.
See where the viewership drops on this. Can we look at that?
Once Jackson said they pulled the fridge out, everyone turned it off. I don't need to know.
Oh, hell no.
I don't need to know.
I'll tap in with the next silly Billy. See you next Saturday, brother.
This silly Billy is not as silly as I was led to believe it might be.
More Billy than silly this time, brother.
This is more of a serious William episode. all right. An ancient giant snake in India might have been longer than a school bus and weighed a ton, researchers reported this week.
Oh, my God.
This is in India. Fossils found near a coal mine revealed a snake that stretched an estimated 36 to 50 feet. It's comparable to the largest known snake at about 42 feet that once lived in Colombia. 47 million years ago in the swampy forests of Western India, could have weighed up to 2,200 pounds.
That's just insane, bro. We were talking about this off camera. We're like, you know, there's something in our brain that when we see snakes makes us automatically react. And I was just wondering, you know, what were snakes doing to us? We're like, our 2024, I see a snake and I'm running through a Walmart. You know what I'm saying? Like, what were they doing to us thousands of years ago? this answers it. You know what I mean? Like, dog, they was wrecking shit. They was running the planet. A 2-ton snake? Who has anything for that? Who has anything for that? Crazy. Crazy.
That is wild.
One ton. 2,000. Yeah. So it's a ton. 1-ton snake.
Yeah, it could be up to 50. It could be up to 50 feet long.
Yeah.
So, what the fuck was that thing eating?
An American school bus, a yellow school bus, is 40 feet long.
That's wild.
Pythons get to like 20 feet, right?
They can get up to 30 feet.
Okay. And so, like,
that's the largest current living snake, 20 feet longer than that.
Oh, my God. Have you seen how thick pythons are, too?
Yeah.
24-inch pythons, brother.
We on that jail talk?
That's a Hulkamania talk.
Hulkamania. Oh, okay. Okay.
I think that is one thing about the ancient world, though. Like, it just, things were bigger. That's like if you look at the history of the life in America, you know, it was bears that were like 5 times the size of current bears, and lions that was bigger than current bears. Like, you know, it was all this shit. Cause I think it had to do with, it was more oxygen. It's like this thing where people say climate change isn't real, but if you actually go into like a geological fossil record, it's like, no, when there's more oxygen, things are better for animal life. And when there's less, it's worse. Like, but that was part of it, was it was like the makeup of the air was different. And then, yeah, but it was the same thing with it. You talk about what was the snake eating. It was the same thing with the T-Rex. It's like, it had to eat like 12 hours a day just to sustain how fucking big it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
2 tons of snake. That's too much snake.
That's
much motherfucking. Wait, y'all were saying that 24-inch python shit. My dad would talk about how, like, when he's locked up, they would like flex their biceps like 20-inch on hang, nigga. Like, that's why they would flex on each other. Like, my biceps 20-inch without even fucking flexing. You feel me? So I thought you was talking about some jail shit. We talking about some prison shit, nigga. And this motherfucker. We're actually talking about Hulkamania. Yeah. I'm like, yo, where that man get that at? 24 inches, crazy. Bro, he'd been stunting in jail, you feel me?
When I flex these 24-inch pythons on you, brother.
My bad. Yeah, fuck him completely.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal, and may lose value.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
is the look between these letters on your keyboard the worst thing that's happened on Twitter?
I mean, yeah, I don't even get the shit that they be like. I saw like a look between your letters thing with like a fucking Jimmy Neutron character or some shit. I was like, yeah, I think I'm too old for this one. I have no idea
what are they trying to insinuate? Like, what are they saying?
It would be like when you see someone doing something crazy, like look between T and U on your keyboard, and it's the like the letter Y.
It's dumb.
That's nasty. That is horrible, bro. Wait, like, who started this? Is this popping right now on Twitter?
It's a lot. I've seen a lot of it the last 2 days.
Oh, wow.
I want to make fun of you guys for being old, but this shit is stupid as hell.
But you hate it.
I don't
get okay, it. Okay. I'm finna say, I thought you were about to say, nah, this shit cracking, bro. You tripping. I'm like, what?
You've seen it, though. I feel like I've seen like a couple dozen of those. Like every time I log on, it's on there. You've seen them, Jackson, Tyler?
I've seen a couple, and I just don't. I just, it's too much reading and thinking for a joke. I don't know. I just don't.
Like, you have to go to your keyboard. And also, you, like, we're using our phones, brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, pop up the keyboard on your phone. I don't understand how that ever became a thing.
Nah, there's no good answer to that. Jackson, are you upset about they're calling it a TikTok ban. That's not really what it is, but are you upset about the TikTok news?
Is there new TikTok news?
The president signed today the foreign aid bill that includes they're calling it a TikTok ban. It's really give the financial stake in America to an American company is what it is, which I'm sure they'll do because people enjoy continuing to make money. But yes, it is officially a law, I believe, as of about an hour before we started recording.
They have
till September. So it's like you've got 5 months to.
I would be sad if TikTok got banned, but I'm supportive of this. I guess I find the whole thing very like confusing and fraught, but I don't want TikTok to go away. I'm addicted to it. And also, it's a big way that we distribute content these days for my professional purposes. But mostly, I'm just addicted to it. So yeah, I would be...
Philip Morris executive over here in 1953 sweating bullets.
mostly, it's just what I am determining to... I figure the worm that's putting into my brain as an addiction is like better than being addicted to something else. So I figure that...
That's how you know you're really addicted.
Oh, yeah, baby.
When you're saying, like, I could be addicted to...
It could be meth, brother. You know what I mean?
I was gonna say a specific thing, but...
That's the last bastion of the true degenerate is the like, well, at least I'm not on heroin.
I think that's exactly what I'm thinking.
But what he says about it is true. Like it is the best platform to probably scale a company, you know what I mean? Like a brand or a company or whatever. But one thing about TikTok though is the algorithm is great. Maybe
what do you mean by that?
Bro, I never see things. I get you, bro. I get what you're saying, and I understand it completely. But at least I don't have to see bullshit I don't give a fuck about. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be on my phone. They never send me a bad video. I've never been on TikTok and seen a bad video. You know what I mean? And also, there's a dude I know that like works with TikTok or whatever, right? And the way he made me, like, as far as a company, it's the one algorithm where you can feel like the algorithm is on your side. Where it doesn't matter how, like, as a brand, bro. I'm not talking about as human. I know you hate all of this shit. I understand and I agree with you on that, especially somebody raising a fucking child. You feel me?
Yeah.
But like, as a brand, you can look at the algorithm like the algorithm is gonna find the people that fuck with what you got going on. Where everything else, you gotta like crack the algorithm and all that shit because it's gonna send you some bullshit. This is the one thing where you can put something, doesn't matter how many followers you have or whatever. If there's a group of people out there that like it, they're gonna find that people, those people. So
that's the one thing as like a content person I like is it feels like one of the only, I mean Twitter was like this I feel like, but not as much anymore. It's one of the only actually merit based social media apps. Like the best stuff is going to more people because more people like it. Period.
Yeah.
Like there, like that's just that there is no discussion. That's just what's happening. And but the actual thing I like about the algorithm is it's so good. That my genuine favorite thing about TikTok is not watching TikTok videos. It's when old white Republicans are like, why does my TikTok only serve me gay porn? It's like, well, brother,
I got news for you.
I got
Big
news
dog.
For you,
Big
pal.
Daddy.
That's my favorite, my number one favorite thing about TikTok and the algorithm, how good it is.
The algorithm is so perfect that Ratha doesn't like any, she doesn't double tap anything.
Smart.
She has a, she doesn't follow, I don't know, she might follow a couple of people, but she's never double tapped anything. And it's, and this is before she was even following anybody. Like she had like no imprint as far as like physically touching it outside of like how long she stayed on videos, and it figured her out in like probably a week and a half. It was like,
That's scary.
It's scary.
It feels Twilight Zone-ish to me that I have so many friends. And I want to be really clear. Like, I have more. I think all three of you are smarter than me. I have so much respect for Ratha's intelligence. But I have so many friends that are presenting that exact scenario as a good thing. And every time they say it, I'm like, this is why we should run as far away from it as possible.
I understand. I understand. But that shit, Nick.
It's like, oh, this social media app is so good at knowing all the things about me. I don't want a foreign-owned company to know.
This is the thing. For sure, I get up with that. But if I'm going to do cocaine, brother, you feel me? Let me do that unstepped on pure shit, bro. You know what I mean? I need that blue magic, brother. You feel me? And they got it over there. Crazy.
I want to add the context that, like, all my thoughts on this are, I'm very interested in this stuff, and I've read quite a bit about it. I'm operating from the assumption that with the 5-month deadline, they will simply move the financial stake in the American portion of this company. They will spin it off, and it will continue to exist exactly as it existed thus far, except that venture capitalists will eventually destroy it the way that Facebook and Twitter have been destroyed, right? But like, I'm not operating from, I know the way the headlines have been phrased in order to get the most engagement, which is kind of what I'm talking about.
Is that
President Biden has banned TikTok, which is, I think that's a very, very small chance that there's any actual consumer impact, particularly of this to people. But it's I feel torn on this because I consider myself a First Amendment absolutist as a journalist and a writer that it's like this. We especially don't want the government fucking around with how people get their information. With the other half of my brain, like, social media is responsible for most of the things I don't like about the world that are recent developments. It's the worst way for us to get information. It's the worst way for us to have any kind of thing in common because, as you said, the most successful social media app is the one that puts you in the coziest silo where you are, and that lack of a shared reality, in my opinion, which exists in order to profit like 3 or 4 companies, is the driver of so much of what is making the problems worse in our country and around the world. And like, you know, as bad as social media has been here, like Myanmar, other places, like it's literally led to the worst things that people can do to each other, you know? So I don't know what the answer is to that. Part of me is like, less social media apps in any way is great. And part of me is like, of all of the reasons to fuck with the social media company, this is the stupidest reason to to fuck with
it. Is the stupidest reason, and yet when every fourth video is like epic Tiger Woods cut up from his 2000 season, look how dominant this guy was, I'm like, dude, this app rocks, this app fucking rules.
That nigga went crazy, you feel me? One thing I will say, like, what made Twitter interesting when we first locked in with it was that it made me realize people on the planet I didn't know existed. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I didn't know niggas still thought like this. I'm never around these type of motherfuckers. So it kind of broadened how I saw the world. Which was good. I don't know if that's the case now. You feel me? I think it's like, I don't know if that represents the world as much as it once did. But yeah, I think that was interesting about that. And these social media platforms like Instagram and TikTok are doing, even Facebook now, are doing the exact opposite.
The term is like digital cocooning or something like that. But it's the idea that, like, yeah, when we all, because we all remember life pre-social media. And so you did, like, you interacted with lots of different types of people, whatever. You got on social media and it was a lot of like, oh, wow, I've never known an Indian person who grew up in Pennsylvania. This is a different perspective on life or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the goal of all of the companies is just to keep you on the app as long as possible. And the way to keep you on the app as long as possible is to like remove that experience, right? Mm-hmm. Like to, so what happened is like we opened up so much to the world that now it's just you again. Like the most specific to you that the news can be, that entertainment can be. This is why we talk about it all the time. Like people don't watch the same TV show anymore. There's no longer like musicians that it feels like 100 million people listen to, because there aren't, right? Like everything's mm-hmm. split up. That's like, dude, if you like EDM, here's the 7 subgenres of EDM. And when we find the subgenre of EDM, you like, we're going to find the subgenre of that subgenre. And you're just going to fucking blah, 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 you know, into your own brain. Right. So I don't know. I don't want to pretend like I have an answer to any of it. I just also, I don't know. But it is crazy to me. Y'all are like, nah, man, that fucking, that app knows my wife better than I know her. This is, look at what great technology it is. Like,
I ain't gonna say that. speaking of music, you're talking about like EDM, all this shit, whatever.
Yeah.
Jackson, how do you pronounce, was it Crumbin? What's the name of that? Okay, that's because I was wondering how to pronounce that shit.
I didn't know until I Googled it. I don't even know if that's correct.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with anything, but I was just wondering. Have you really listened to that music?
I wouldn't say. I'm not like a super fan, but yeah, I've listened to it.
It's really fucking good, it's right? Like, I love them, but I think white people like them because white people can be wind while listening to them. Like, white people like listening to music that they sway to. They don't have to actually catch a beat. And I'm like, wow, this is the perfect swaying music. This is why they always hitting me up, like my white homies are like, have you heard of him? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. Like, wow, this music is made for them to be outdoors swaying to. They don't have to catch a beat. None of that shit.
I'm probably going to be swaying to them myself outdoors when they come to the Hollywood Bowl this summer.
Bro, how much are they taxing? Though? I heard them tickets is crazy, bro.
Are they? Dang.
Yeah, I heard they tax. I heard they like resale costs now. Like, you got to go to resale. I think they sold out hella quickly. Anyway, had nothing to do with anything. I was just wondering.
I have a lot of friends who really love EDM. What percentage of your enjoyment of EDM is drug-related, Jackson?
Well, this is not EDM, what John was asking about. But to answer your question, hypothetically, I didn't have interest years ago. I went to Coachella in 2018. Mm-hmm. And since then, I have interest. Genuine interest, not while completely sober. So I don't know if it like rewired my brain or just like exposed me to it in a way that I had not been exposed to it, like in the environment, like the outdoors, like in the great weather with like my friend, like the environment that I was in when I was sort of first like given that opportunity, as opposed to just like put it on fucking Spotify.
The opportunity.
It was an amazing time out there. Okay. And so since then, sober or high on very, very legal drugs like weed, like it a lot more. I like it weed. A lot.
What other legal drugs?
Oh, like alcohol? Yeah. You know. Oh, okay. I don't know what you guys would be talking about. Those are the only things that I consume. I live in California.
I mean, yeah, EDM feels like a genre you have to experience live. Like, I don't know any EDM fans who just listen to that shit at the crib. Like, if you listen to EDM, you go to raves and shit, you know? No one just listens to that shit at the crib.
I'm gonna wash the floors. Let me put some.
Oh, yeah. I know people who are like, they mostly listen to it at the gym, for example.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like a very broad, from my understanding, I'm like a tip of the iceberg. Right, like fan of that kind of music, and so
you're casual.
Yeah, I'm a casual for sure. It's a very broad scope. So there's certain types I think that like a lot of different types of people would enjoy. Like I don't like the super hardcore heavy stuff. I'm just like, give me like the danciest house music you can find, and let me just vibe. You know,
before we would record, Zach would throw some of that shit on, and he'd just look at me because he knew it would make my fucking skin crawl. I just hate the. I just can't. Stand, you know what I'm saying, the underlying beats. But anyway,
I'd
imagine if I was like popping pills or like shrooms or whatever, that probably would go crazy.
I think if you were to actually look at, like, we talk about how quick the generations speed up because of the technological advances, I think we are the exact line. Like, I feel like if we were born 6 months after we were, like, everyone our age and older heard about ecstasy as a like
was crackhead.
Was like worse than heroin. Yeah, like if you do that, you could be paralyzed. You could never recover your brain. Like all this other stuff. And literally, people like are my friends who graduated high school a year after us. It's like we're comfortable using Molly in college and stuff. You know what I mean? But
like,
I don't.
Shrooms is
my age and older.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Shrooms to me still like I don't look at you do shrooms. You like it's not a big deal. But like I'm still like I've never done it. And I'm not gonna say who. But yeah, a person I love very dearly, one of my favorite people in the world, she's like, yo, you need to do this shit, dog. With your brain, you would love it. And I'm just like, I don't know. It just feels like anything past weed, like my mom would say, you're doing that dope. he on that dope. You feel what I'm saying? Like, like, I don't know, bro. Doing that dope, you know, that's, I don't know. That can get scary, G.
Yeah, so. We are definitely of a generation where if it ain't weed, it's crack, bro.
You feel like, me?
Point that's blank. It's point that blank. Simple with us, man.
That nigga on that crack, nigga. Bro, when I heard niggas was doing cocaine out here, like actual black people, I'm like, this is really a different world. You know what I'm saying? We're like, motherfucker, y'all did that in high school. What? High school? I remember when, what's the old girl from 3-6 Mafia?
Gangsta Boo.
Gangsta Boo talking about need something white to put in my nose. I'm like, I gasped when I heard that line, nigga. Something white to put in my nose. I'm like, oh my God, she's on crack.
Tyler, is there a parallel between you being a Twitter and weed only person? Is TikTok like, is TikTok over a line for you in the way that you would not?
Bro, I don't even like peruse the shit. I just got one of them. Basic ass user 7398971.
That's what I got too, though. Right? I ain't gonna lie. Yeah.
Right? And the thing is, bro, like whenever someone sends me a TikTok, the landing page that you know how you get on a landing page before you actually see the TikTok they sent you? That shit is always intriguing every fucking time. And I'm like, bro, ain't no way in hell I'm gonna get addicted to this shit too and be fucking addicted to Twitter. I'm like, no, just I'm just gonna watch the shit you send me and close the fuck out. That's it.
I have like an actual Jeffto Genius one that I was using for my last gig. And I don't even use that one, bro. I just use the user. I started another one, a user like 800 shit, because I get like, bro, like, I don't want to be. I watch it at times, and I think it's a great algorithm, but I don't want to be addicted the way Tyler says too. Like at night, rather. You feel me?
She's on there.
And I've seen that, so I respect it, and I get it, and I enjoy my time there. But for whatever reason, I've been able to keep it at you know. A particular amount of usage.
It's a smart decision, John. The decision you're making is smart. However, the old smoke some weed and doom scroll for 30 minutes at 11 p.m. hits pretty good. Hits pretty good.
I can only imagine. Maybe if I still was smoking like I, you know what I'm saying? I'd probably be going, that shit would probably be perfect, G. You know what I mean? But I don't know, man. I need my sleep. Go ahead. You say what?
So the only thing I would say, and I want to be clear that like I don't approach anyone's social media usage with any judgment whatsoever. I've spent like probably literal years of my life on Twitter. And I'm not like in no way am I, you know, but I do think it's exactly where we're at, that every conversation I have about social media apps, my friends sounds like this. The word addiction comes up all the time.
For sure.
We all know that that's what it is.
Yeah,
we have a political system that's so broken by partisanship that even though every parent I know of an elementary school age kid is stressed the fuck out about this stuff, there is no actual national conversation around it. There is no hint of any actual like legislation or common sense technological curbs that are not like driven by parents. Like there's no hint of any of that. And it's just kind of like it feels like a slow motion, crazy car wreck to me. It's like every time this stuff comes up, I'm like, and we're just watching it like it's just happening. And there's like nothing that's being done or even really being considered about it. I find it like, I don't know, man. It's just kind of crazy to me. It really is kind of crazy to me.
I agree with you completely. But I would love for Tyler to start a fucking animal channel on that motherfucker, dog. You would be a millionaire. I guarantee it. You're leaving money on the table, brother. If you got on
leave
there,
leave my dog alone.
If you got on there and talk animals, his level of how addiction. You talk shit, brother? You feel me, nigga?
Yeah,
maybe a billionaire.
Yeah,
there's so much money in that shit.
Yeah, it's for sure money to me. Like TikTok viral will make you money. Like Twitter viral just makes people annoy the fuck out of you. Like there's nothing nigga, to be gained from going viral on TikTok.
I know a nigga who has like a popping ass IG and a popping ass TikTok. So like the Facebook money was good. Everybody's talking about how Facebook money was so good. TikTok money crazy, bro. I'm talking about like the man makes TikToks is making half a million a year, G, off TikTok videos, nigga. You feel me? Like crazy, insane, man. So like, dog, I don't know, Tyler. We all said we got a number. That number right there, bro. That number right there, dog.
Half a million, yeah, that's crazy.
Hey, man, get on there and talk your shit about animals and make half of them a year. Come on, man.
I feel like getting another person addicted to TikTok was the exact opposite of why I put this shit on the rundown.
We got the person who's going to create content.
That's how good the app is, bro. That's how good the app is.
We need this content. Content is king, man.
John's out there like Scott and Jean Grey's baby with the techno virus with the across his forehead, walking up to Tyler like, you could make money, though.
Right, bro. You got it. You got it, Tyler.
All right. That's all the time we got. We will be live Sunday night after the basketball games on YouTube, youtube.com/@JenkinsandJones. Please come hang out. We've had a great time hopping on and hanging out with everybody in the chat. Throw questions at us. Make jokes, for sure. We appreciate everyone who's been listening so far. It's been a lot of fun. We'll see y'all Sunday. Hope the rest of everyone's week goes great. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. You can make a lot of money doing dad content, too. I'm just going to let you know that, too. There's money for both of y'all on that platform. All right. Bye.
The Volume.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.